Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 49. Advent. The dull click and hiss of the Chemtech machinery around him put Echo's teeth on edge, but he reasoned it was better than the alternative, which was silence. Silence was nearly always a bad thing in Zaun because it meant that a local air filter had broken down and that gases were going to start building up. Or it meant that the locals had cleared out snappy-like and they only did that when something nasty was going down. Even out in the pipeworks, there was the noise of rodents and pests of all sorts here and there, except when there was a predator on the loose. Silence only ever meant one thing in the Undercity, and that was death, so it made a certain kind of sense that the same would be true in a hospital. Ferris Naradi was in a bad state. He'd rushed her back to the field hospital on the rear line, and it had saved her life, but barely. Once they had her stabilized, they'd moved her back to Glask Spires, where a more advanced medical facility had been set up, and she'd thankfully held up during the trip. 10 hours later, she hadn't regained consciousness, though. Ferris Naradi was a tough old bat, but Echo wasn't sure anyone was that tough. Anyone but Renata, anyway. Gods and aspects, but Echo had never in his life imagined he would ever find himself feeling bad for Renata Glask, of all people. She was a textbook chem baron, cruel, powerful, and power-hungry, and with an absolutely obscene amount of wealth to throw around to the point that money was just a number to her. Admittedly, it was a little harder to group her up with the likes of Petrock Grime now that he knew a little more about her. As horrible as she was, it was hard as a Zaunite to begrudge someone who dragged themselves up out of the absolute depths of poverty to become one of the most powerful people in the city, all for the sake of burning Piltover to the ground. It wasn't like Echo didn't have his own grudges, even if they were a lot more tempered. Unlike Glask, he wasn't willing to kill anyone who got in his way. He wasn't willing to sacrifice thousands on the pyre of his hatred. Did that make him a weaker person, a better person? Did it really matter? Regardless, Renata's grief and rage were palpable. She had all but demanded the use of his most veteran firelights in scouting Stillwater, even breaking open her own personal armory to equip them with the finest weapons and armor in 2 cities to give them their best chance of coming back with worthwhile news. They would, too. His best had been dodging clanners for over a decade, and he had no doubt they would continue to do so. As for himself, Renata had all but ordered him to stay with Ferris until she woke up for 2 reasons, foremost of which was to ensure that no Clan Ferris assassins snuck in to finish the job because her services would be required, whatever that meant. Secondly was so he could debrief her the moment she was cogent, which, while understandable, was not exactly what Echo would have been looking forward to right after waking up from a coma. Then again, Lady Naradi was a military woman through and through, so maybe she would appreciate it. Noxians could be weird like that. Ferris moaned softly as she stirred, and Echo sat up straight just in time for her to groggily open her eyes. "I suppose this means I'm not dead," she muttered. "Not yet, lady," Echo said dryly. "You gave it a good shot, though." "Yes, well, we Noxians are nothing if not thorough and committed," she replied with a thin smile as she made to sit up, only for Echo to put a hand on her bare shoulder. "Whoa there," he gently pushed her back down to the bed. "You're not going anywhere, Mr. Roddy. For one, you still hook up to, like, 3 blood bags. For 2, you were just in a fucking coma, and for 3, you're naked, so." Then pulled up the layers of sheets and blankets she was lying under to keep warm and peeked underneath them. "Sam," she said as she let them go and laid back, "it seems I received quite a few more wounds than I had thought I had." "Yeah, it'd probably be easier to count the places you didn't get cut or stabbed at this point," Echo replied, then added, "Anyway, that's one of the reasons I'm here, other than making sure Camille didn't send any to finish the job. Your job is to heal, Mr. Naradi. My job is to make sure whatever you need doing gets done while you're laid up, because the next op is in 2 days, and I ain't gonna lie, we're gonna need you for this one."
"2 days?
Lady Naradi echoed, then turned to look him sharply in the eye.
"What happened?"
Taking a deep breath, Echo gave her the full rundown of what had occurred since Orianna had downed her. Even though Renata had instructed him to exercise a certain amount of discretion, Echo opted to define that amount as zero, and told her absolutely everything. From the truth about Seraphine, which he had been extremely weirded out to learn himself, to her fate and why they were suddenly planning on assaulting an emplaced fortress in the middle of the Conqueror's Bay. To the Lady Narati's credit, she listened with a calm, collected ear to everything Echo said, only interrupting him a few times to clarify a point, but otherwise taking everything in silence. By the time he finished, neither of them were feeling particularly hopeful, but then, Echo had rarely had much good reason to hope for anything, and he had always made a point of doing so anyway. Without hope, what was the point of fighting something as monolithic as Piltover? Some days hope was all he had, days like today. "This is a problematic situation we've found ourselves in," Lady Narati said blithely.
"That's a word for it," Echo replied.
"I will consider my next move then, but while I do, and in the meantime, have you given any consideration to my offer?"
Wait, you were serious?
Echo couldn't help but chuckle despite their grim circumstances.
"You want me to meet your daughter?"
Ferris Narati nodded, then said, "To speak plainly, I would like you to marry my daughter after all of this is over." Echo shook his head in disbelief. Of all the directions he'd expected this conversation to go, this was definitely not one of them. Noxians had the weirdest fucking priorities, apparently. Then again, he supposed she wasn't going anywhere, and it's not like he was either, while she, he assumed, was simultaneously thinking about how to go about answering Renata's call to arms. Whatever, it wasn't like he had anything to do until she had a plan, and the poor lady just woke up from a damn coma. Might as well chew the fat while she gets her head back in the game.
"That assumes we're going to live and also win," Echo pointed out.
"A general must never assume defeat," Lady Narati said calmly. "To assume defeat is to guarantee it. Odd as it may seem, you and I are all but required, both by our natures and our roles as leaders of fighting men and women, to remain optimists regardless of our personal insecurities."
"Guess I can't argue with that," Echo admitted.
"And as for marrying my daughter, the simple matter is that assuming, as you say, we both live and win, the aristocratic houses of Noxus will descend upon this city like a pack of vultures, with the intent of creating blood ties to whatever powerful factions can be bartered with. I simply intend to, as they say, get the jump on them."
"How do you even know if she'd like me?" Echo asked. "Or that I'd like her, for that matter, to say nothing of the fact that Zonites don't really do marriage, at least not the way you'd understand it."
Raising an arm that was surprisingly smooth with muscle, given Ferris Narati's age, the Noxian noblewoman waved his question away almost dismissively as she said, "Marriage ties are a business transaction, my boy. A tethering of mutual resources. True, there are occasional love matches, but it's rare and mostly relegated to the lower classes. Before you say anything, I would point out that however you see yourself, your influence in Zorn makes you the equivalent of any Chem-Baron in authority."
"Hate that," Echo said dryly.
"You're a talented leader, possess a calm, dedicated focus, and yet you still retain your passion for action, never allowing caution to stay your hand." Lady Narati listed everything off as if she were ticking boxes. "Furthermore, you have a quality that is all but alien in Noxian society." She turned and favored him with a thin smile.
"You're a good man."
"None of that really answers my question," Echo pointed out. "My Ophelia has known from the beginning that she will likely be wed to someone for the sake of political surety, but I assure you, she will find you far and away more acceptable than the son or daughter of some pampered Noxian count. As for yourself, you seem to surround yourself with women not unlike my daughter, sir."
Echo chuckled and shook his head. "Look, no offense to your daughter. Ophelia, it sounds like she's a firecracker, kind of unhinged."
Ferris nodded as if this were totally normal.
"Right, well, if you're comparing her to Lux, Jinx, Sarah, and such, look, I like Sarah because everyone likes Sarah. Jinx is the closest thing to a sister I've ever had, and even with all the blood between us and all her crazy, that ain't going away. Lux is a package deal with Jinx, so that goes without saying, but I don't mind saying that she scares the shit out of me."
He shook his head again and looked up at the older Noxian woman.
"So I made a promise to myself that if I ever settled down, it'd be with someone who's got his shit together. I've been fighting a war all my life. I want someone who's got her own life, knows what she wants, and isn't trying to play games or fuck around. I'm too old for that shit."
"You're not even 30, she said. Echo scoffed. "Yeah, but I'm like 60 in Zorn years.
We don't usually live that long, remember? I suppose so. I appreciate the offer, Miss Narati, but I choose to remain sane, Echo said with a small laugh. A pity, Lady Narati replied. I think your demeanor would have done my daughter quite a lot of good. She needs a calmer element in her life. Ain't opposed to a new friend, Echo offered, then added. And the whole blood magic thing aside, you seem like a pretty stand-up lady as far as Noxians go, so being allies with you don't sound too bad. Is that so? Lady Narati relaxed back with a thoughtful expression on her face, and Echo had to resist letting out a sigh of relief that she let it go. He did love Jinx like family, despite everything that had happened. He loved Sarah because, like he'd told Narati, everyone loved Sarah. She was all but impossible not to love. He even liked Lux, even if she was absolutely fucking terrifying most of the time in ways that were abnormal, even by Zonite standards. He did not want that kind of chaos in his personal life, though. Honestly, Lady Narati said quietly, I expected you to be more reproachful of my magic. Even Noxians are fearful of my power. Echo shrugged. The shit you do ain't half as horrifying as the crap Smeech gets up to with corpses. Same thing with Doc Singed, and the less said about Dr. Mundo, the better. Maybe Zonites just got stronger stomachs than Noxians, though. Maybe they do, Lady Narati admitted. Then she rolled carefully onto her side so she could look up at Echo without straining her neck, and as she did, it became more difficult to ignore the way the sheets draped over her. Something Lady Narati seemed more than aware of as she laid her arm over her side and said, Given that you do not seem to find me repulsive, then may I make a second offer? And a spring chicken. But I certainly meet all your criteria, and I'd like to think I've still got some life in me. Echo stared at her for several seconds before laughing softly and saying, You don't give up, do you? Not as such, no, she replied smartly. Carting his fingers through his thick, pale dreads, Echo laughed, then said, Fine, you know what? I respect the hustle. Once we're out of this shitstorm and ain't got the fate of the world hanging over our heads, we'll take a night in the town and see where it goes. Sound like a plan? I can agree to that, she said with a smug smile that made her look more than a little younger, and she wasn't bad-looking to begin with, honestly. Now let's get back to brass tacks with sieging Stillwater, shall we? I think I have a few ideas. Let's hear them, Miss Narati, Echo said. Lady Narati relaxed and laid back down, and as she did, that smile widened faintly as she said, Please, call me Ferris.
You want to run that by us again, Braids?
Zig said as he swigged back a shot of something crystal clear, then slammed the glass down and waved at Jericho.
Hey! Another!
The big Salakian nodded and refilled his glass. The first drop was doing better than good business, easily enough to keep the orphans that lived there taken care of when combined with the cash Jinx threw at them every month. What was it Blondie had called it? A subsidy? Whatever that was. Other than Zig's, Zack was crouched nearby, his gelatinous body serving as a bouncy playground for the children that were running around, and Twitch was snuffling around under the table, looking for whatever it was mutant rats looked for under tables. Jinx tried not to think about crap like that too hard.
I'm gonna break Stillwater wide open, she repeated. And I want all of you to help me do it.
Zack sighed.
Yeah, I don't know about that, boss, he said. Stillwater is a fortress, I mean. Could probably get in, but getting out would be a different story. And that thing's built to withstand just about everything. You can't just pop a bomb in there and blow it up.
Jinx slapped a hand twice on the bar.
Give me a hobo knife fight, big man, she said, then looked to Zack. And don't worry about getting out. That's going to be the easy part, because by that point, me and Blondie are going to be in there murdering everything that moves. They'll have better things to worry about than you guys, but that's just a distraction. I need you three to actually set the place to blow.
And now do you propose we do that, huh?
Six asked as he knocked back another shot, slapped it down, and said, Another! Before adding,
Stillwater's huge! And it sets into the bedrock, Jay. I could blow a lot of shit up, but I need to get right down to the foundations to crack a nut like that. Or get in walls,
Twitch chirped, poking his head up and out from under the table.
But Ziggy's right, and my plagues don't work on those metal fellas. There's no meat on those bones. What am I supposed to do?
Picking up a drink, Jinx slugged back half of it, then set it back down, reached into the depths of her coat, and pulled out a rolled-up sheaf of scrap paper. Turning to the bar, she set it down and rolled it out flat, grabbed her half-empty drink and set it on one side, and used Pow Pow, which had been leaned against the bar up to that point, on the other, pinning it down. It was a set of blueprints, an old set at that.
"Huh. That's still water, huh?"
Sig said, leaning over curiously despite his earlier refusals.
"It's old, but—"
Jinx gestured at the pipes and hydraulics.
"And that actually works better. You can't really fuck with the old clockwork stuff the way you can X-Tech, you know? All those pipes and shit gotta stay where they are, or else the hydraulics break down all over the place, and they're big enough for Zack to move around in."
"Yeah, and?"
Zack asked as the orphans started working together to scale his massive back, creating what looked like a ladder of children. Kids really were creative little bastards.
"What's your point?"
"Rats, bombs, walls."
Jinx muttered the words as she traced a line along the perimeter of Stillwater.
"This place has old bones, but old bones can be brittle."
She looked up at Ziggs.
"My point is that I'm not trying to knock Stillwater down. I'm trying to blow it open. What's the difference?"
Twitch sneered, but surprisingly, Ziggs held up one furry hand as he leaned in closer to the blueprints.
"Hey, Braids,"
Ziggs said, tapping the internal manifolds that ran through the walls of the prison.
"You got the specs on those pipes?"
Jinx grinned, reached into another pocket, and pulled out a folded pile of smaller slips of scrap that she laid in front of Ziggs, who immediately started leafing through them. She could see the wheels turning in his head. In his own way, old Ziggs was just as brilliant as Heimerdinger. It was just that where the Piltoven Yordle was obsessed with building things that lasted, Ziggs was obsessed with blowing those things up. It was one of the reasons that he and Jinx had always gotten on so well, even if their past collaborations had usually ended in New City ordinances being penned. Holding up one of the sets of pipe specs containing a diagram Jinx had scrawled out, Ziggs turned it this way and that, then reached into one of his pockets and pulled out one of his spherical grenades and rolled it around in his hand for a moment.
"So?"
Jinx asked.
"Still a suicide mission,"
Ziggs said, looking back at Jinx.
"That place might have all bones, but if it's clan territory, then there ain't no way it ain't packed to tits with cutting-edge hex-deck security. They'll clock us the instant we start working, even with your distraction."
Jinx shook her head and looked down at Twitch.
"Nah, that's where you come in, Twitchy boy. Unlike clockwork, hex-deck needs power. Power means generators, and generators need cables."
Twitch chittered out a gleeful laugh, then cut himself off and shook his furred head.
No, wait, still suicide. Even if we get Zack in the walls, my rats all over their wires, and Ziggs doing whatever he's gonna be doing, it's still friggin' suicide. They got a whole army in that place."
"Yeah, and?"
Jinx threw her arms up.
"They got a whole army out there," she gestured up topside, "too. We're zonas, we were born surrounded. And now they took one of us. And not just one of us, they took Seraphine."
She turned to Ziggs.
"I don't like many people, but I like Sarah. She looked after me when I got hurt. Looked after Blondie, too."
She looked at Zack.
"She's trapped in that shithole with a bunch of clanners torturing her, and that's okay with you?"
Zack looked away. Jinx glared down at Twitch.
"And you? Seraphine sings to your stupid rat. She says they're cute. She's one of the only ones in the whole city who's sticking up for mutants like you, and you're just gonna hang her out to dry?"
Twitch actually had the good grace to look away as he rubbed the back of his head with his gnarled claws.
"I mean, yeah, that's—"
Jinx stood up and yanked her coat straight.
"Piltover's been trying to stomp us out since they lost the mining colonies, you mooks. We're at friggin' war. Now they've kidnapped one of the only decent people in our whole city and trying to turn their psycho bitch leader into a hextech god. And we're just gonna let them? We've got this one shot. And if we don't win this bet, we lose everything anyway, so why not bet the fucking house, huh?"
She sagged as she said those last words and slumped back onto the bar stool, looked around at Zack, Ziggs, and Twitch, then said,
"Now, did you three have some other home you'd rather die for?"
Ziggs rolled a grenade pensively over and over in his hand, while Twitch made thoughtless little chittering noises, and Zack stood up carefully from where he had crouched in the corner, gently dislodging the kids off his shoulders and knees. Jinx looked them over, feeling more kinship with them than she did most people. Together they were truly the cream of the crap, the ones that no one else wanted and no one else would ever take. No one but Mother Zahn.
Guess we all gotta go sometime, right? Zack said. Count me in.
Yeah, sure. I got nothing better to do.
Sig said after a moment, then looked up at Jinx and shot her a grin.
I'll keep these specs and start cranking out bombs. Just give it a signal.
Twitch nodded.
Gotta find enough space for my rats,
he said, scratching his chin.
This is gonna get ugly, Jinxie. I'm counting on it.
Jinx replied with a wide, rictus grin.
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server, where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.